Psalm 86, verse 1, "Hear, Yahweh, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." Well, he uses that phrase, poor and needy, in a lot of the psalms that are appropriate to the time of his sin with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah and the consequences of it, Psalm 40 in particular. So he feels himself poor and needy. Poor spiritually before God, in need of his grace. And of course, God did give him his grace. He didn't slay him as he deserved. He did preserve him and ultimately save him. And so, because of that experience of having been poor and needy and God having grace upon him, David also talks in a number of the Psalms about showing mercy and support to the poor and needy. And his vision of his son Solomon in Psalm 72 is that Solomon would have pity on the poor and needy. So, putting all these things together, David's experience of God's grace to him in his spiritual poverty, in his need for healing, forgiveness, restoration, that led him to be generous to others who are poor and needy, materially, perhaps, materially, physically poor and needy. And the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, she is noted for pitying the poor and needy. That is mentioned twice. Now, I think that the poem, if you like, about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, I think that that's Solomon writing that about Bathsheba, who was, of course, David's wife and Solomon's mother. She was the virtuous woman, it seems to me. And so she and David were famed then for their attention to the poor and needy, the materially poor and needy. But this was a reflection of the fact that David had been so spiritually poor and needy. Well, there's a lot of charitable work going on, a lot of opportunities in nearly every situation in this world, in almost every part of the world, to on some level be involved with helping the poor and needy. And folks who are total atheists do this, Christians do it, Muslims do it, religious people do it, non-religious people do it. So the question that arises for us is, well, what are my motives? Well, for us, we are spiritually poor and needy. We have sinned and the wages of sin is death. And yet God has shown his grace and his pity to us in our spiritual poverty, as he did to David. And it is that which motivates our outreach to the materially poor and needy. You'll be very careful that you don't do charitable work, and I'm not talking simply about giving money, I'm talking about doing things, to sort of get yourself saved by works, to calm your own conscience, to make yourself look cool in the eyes of the world. I mean, when I was a young guy, the cool thing to do was to go on holidays somewhere foreign or exotic and come back and boast about it, that, we went up to this place and such part of Spain or whatever, and we sat on the beach and it was great. That's not cool now. The cool thing to do is to say, I went to whatever it was in Africa or here or there, and I gave out, food to the needy or whatever. It was cool. And, that's smart. That's cool. And, of course, I have to say, I don't want to be dog in a manger. It's far better to do that than sit on the beach and do nothing and drink expensive cocktails or whatever you do on beach holidays. Sure. But what I am asking us to do is to probe our conscience, is to probe our motivation. And, of course, to know your own motivation is, in a sense, difficult. And there's a wonderful little phrase that Paul uses in Hebrews where he talks about how the conscience is cleansed in Christ. The conscience is cleansed in Christ. So whilst it may be impossible by any kind of self-conscious intellectual process to sort of cleanse your motives, to say, yes, I'm doing this purely motivated, I don't think you can quite discern it all yourself, but ask God and ask Jesus to cleanse your motives. And I think, as I say, that for us, no matter what other people's motives might be, it's not for us to enter into that. But for us, we should be aware that doing charitable work, it can easily be done from the wrong motives. And our grace to the poor and needy needs to be motivated by our appreciation, our deep appreciation of our own poverty spiritually and our own desperate, utterly desperate need before God. We should often in our lives come down very small before God and really realize how poor and needy we are spiritually. And those moments are priceless, absolutely priceless. And we need to keep having them and to keep sort of self-inducing them, as it were, in our own experience, so that our motives for going out to the poor and needy, materially as well as spiritually, will be a direct reflection of what God has done for us in His grace.